On today's episode of Insights, should you feature your team in your content? We share our insights on how to hack social engagement, and we chat with Ryan Marr about his biggest takeaway from the 2019 Executive Forum. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. Want to stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more? Haley Marketing's philosophy is simple: to make great marketing more affordable. Whether you're looking to drive sales leads or attract more qualified candidates, we make it easy for you to stand out in a saturated market. To learn more, visit HaleyMarketing.com. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome to another episode of Insights. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's recruitment marketing strategist, Matt Lozar. Matt, you've got to be feeling great today, and I think I know why.
It's because it's March. This is March, Brad, and last podcast I talked about how February was the worst month of the year.
On record saying that February is the worst. We have canceled February.
But we have some hope here. It's beginning of March when we're recording this podcast. You know, we're one day closer to golf season, we're one day closer to baseball season. If you like basketball, all those takes are about sports, but also warm weather here in the Northeast. We'll eventually get here, and that's all I have. It's March.
Let's get it started.
Content Blueprint.
Matt, one of the biggest challenges with content marketing is, candidly, coming up with the content itself. Should staffing firms feature their team in the content they create and share?
Staffing agencies should definitely feature their team in the content. And the most basic reason is, if you feature your internal team members, the employees that you've placed on assignment, they have a vested interest in that content. They see their names, they might see their face, they might see their, you know, the friends at their office, and that really gets back to, you know, what is very engaging and popular on social media is sharing content that really features, you know, you doing a good job.
It definitely increases the shareability of that content, right? So if you're constantly writing blog posts, you're sharing different resources for your target audience, and we've gone through in past episodes how to put together a content strategy. So we're really getting tactical on this episode, talking about what you should share. And if you're not familiar with a comprehensive content marketing strategy, I would encourage you to listen to one of our past episodes of Insights. But if we get tactical and thinking about should you share your team in their content and what they're doing and really the benefits of your organization, absolutely. I know, Matt, you talk a big game about employer branding. When it comes to employer branding, there's nothing better than showcasing the actual team and your individuals.
It really is, because when it could be an active job candidate, it could be a passive job candidate. Once they might be looking at your job description first, they might be looking at it 10th in their search for a new job. But let's say they come across, you know, your website or your social media, and they can see exciting experiences, fun experiences, team experiences. They need to picture themselves as part of that company, because Brad has said this all the time, like it's kind of crazy, but if you're working 40 hours a week in a job, you spend more time with those people sometimes than the people in your house. And that could be good or bad, but you have to really enjoy that experience of getting up and going to work every day. And not everyone has a 9-to-5 job. They could have, you know, jobs at different hours, different shifts, different times of day. And being able to really enjoy that experience where, you know, it's not just a drag to get out of bed every day. Yes, it is a job, but to be able to see yourself in that culture at the company can really go to finding the right job candidates for your openings.
If we're looking at passive candidates, money and salary and compensation isn't enough to get somebody to move from point A to point B. Maybe it is at times. Of course, everyone wants to make more money. That's human nature. But also, if we think about a sense of fulfillment and seeing yourself in a role and seeing yourself in an available opportunity or joining a new team that has team builders, who plays volleyball once or twice a week, who enjoys going out to lunch with each other. Matt, I've said it multiple times, but you spend more time some weeks than the people you work with, than your actual family. you should love the people that you work with, because the product that you put out, the level of productivity that you could have then, maybe love's a strong word. I saw your face there, but you should at least enjoy working with the people that you work with, because you'll put out such a higher level of productivity if you enjoy being around everybody.
And there's also a lot of management and leadership theory that would talk about, you know, executives or managers need to take care of their internal teams first, because if those employees are happy and having a really good time, they're going to provide better service to customers or to clients or to whoever they interact with on a daily basis. Or even if, you know, they're working in an industrial setting and having to, you know, work in a factory every day, they're going to be taking more pride in their job because they're having a, you know, just have a better culture internally. So Brad, I know you have a point over there, but, you know, some other things I want to talk about or even ask you about is, what are some examples, I guess, that we could give our listeners to, you know, think about the type of content they could share of their team that would drive engagement and be really impactful?
Sure. I think you could start with birthdays. You could start with anniversaries. If somebody's worked for multiple years, you could showcase their anniversary of being employed with your organization. If an individual writes a piece of blog content, you could share the article, but then you could also feature the individual. And maybe it's a short video of, hey, I'm Brad Biley. I just put together this great resource on the Haley Marketing blog. I really want you to go check it out. But share that through the company platforms, the company pages. You could look at showing team meetings. Maybe it's behind the scenes and you have branded mugs or branded shirts. I don't love doing that a lot, but sprinkling in that content, I think, is a great mix and an overall comprehensive social media strategy.
One of the best pieces of content I have seen in this area was one of my first years here is with a healthcare staffing agency in the West Coast, and their most engaged piece of content on Facebook for the entire year by far was a guacamole contest in the office. It was like 10x of anything else, and it just shows people showing up on a Friday, having a guacamole contest, everyone trying to beat their CEO with better guacamole, and showing the winner, you know, getting a random prize, but their engagement was just, you know, in the hundreds, which is very high for staffing agencies. And that just shows it being real. And it's not, you know, specifically job related. It's not a straight testimonial. It's people being people. And that's what they want to see.
Yeah. And Matt, I know we talked about it already, but this comes back to creating a comprehensive social media strategy. Your social footprint should not just be the individuals in your office, guacamole contests, team branding or team logos or different branding on mugs and shirts. We want to be a resource for candidates and applicants in your local market, potential prospects in your market. We want to be seen as a trusted resource, as a trusted advisor. As we're adding to that, though, adding in that human touch is critical. Matt, I know I've talked to you recently about a book by Mark Schaefer that I just finished up called Marketing Rebellion. My favorite quote from that book is, "Be more human." No matter what happens next, if we use that as our constant guide and filter, we'll be okay. The most human company wins. And as we look to 2019 and even 2020, I think putting the social back in social media is critical. Being human on social media is critical. We've, as marketers, have a funny way of trying to automate everything and make it efficient. But really putting the human, putting the social back in social media, I think is the best way that the staffing industry could really flourish in 2019 and 2020. And we're in a people business, right? We're putting great people to work every single day. We have great human things that we can share. Let's do that.
And that last part of what you just said there is, it really gets back to almost the heart of the staffing industry in that, you know, Haley Marketing Group helps staffing agencies put people to work. Like that really, I mean, that's a really deep dive in a totally different topic. But at the end of the day, those are the stories we want to showcase. It's somebody that came into your office, you gave an opportunity, and now maybe, you know, they're on a different career path, or maybe you've helped them, you know, provide for their family. That's really gets back to the basis of the staffing industry.
Social reach.
At this time, we'd like to welcome on Matt Swistak, a social media marketing advisor at Haley Marketing Group. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, guys, and thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Matt, give us a quick background of your core role at Haley Marketing Group and how you assist our clients on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. So I'd say one of my main roles here is to work with our clients to help them figure out what their goals are, what they're looking to achieve ultimately. is that to increase the number of applicants? Is it to increase the number of clients? Really pinpoint what they're looking to accomplish. And from there, we then deploy tactics and strategies on social media to help them achieve those goals. I also think that another part of my role here at Haley Marketing Group is to stay on top of all the current social trends that are happening. So then we can use those social trends in our tactics and strategies that we deploy for our clients.
Matt, I love it. On episode 2 of Insights, we actually talked about why every post needs a purpose on social media. I love the fact that you're working with clients to identify their goals first, and that's the main focus. From goals, then we go into strategies, tactics, instead of just putting together a social strategy built around, you know, feel-good stats. We're really looking at those business goals.
Absolutely. And I really think that having those goals and strategies in place is really a way to benchmark your success on social media and really to figure out, you know, is what we're doing on social media working? Is it helping you accomplish those goals? So I really think that having that down in the beginning is really important to putting together, you know, tactics and strategies that will work and will help them achieve those goals.
Well, Matt, we're excited to have you on. This is the first time we've had two people with the same name on Insights. We have a lot of team members that share common names here at Haley Marketing Group, which is really interesting. But you're going to hear from Brad, Matt, and Matt over on segment 2 here. And to get started, it's a big question. And as we look at social media right now, one of the biggest questions that we get from clients is how to improve engagement metrics, clicks, likes, shares on social media. And I know that it's a big question and it's a lot to get into, but can we hack social engagement? And if we can, what's working right now? I'm going to start with Matt Lozar. Matt, can we hack social engagement?
It's hard to. I think it's everybody's trying to stay that one, two steps ahead of the Facebook algorithm, the Twitter algorithm, the LinkedIn algorithm. And I mean, the real answer is it just goes back to really good content. And to have really good content, you need to know your target audience. That's a point we've really stressed throughout Insights here in the first, you know, handful of episodes. And the reason is we need to know our target audience because we need to know what kind of content they want to engage with. So if we can provide them that content, if it's videos, if it's testimonials, if it's blog posts, if it's just jobs, if it's talking about, you know, do you just want to make more money? If you have that right type of content for your target audience, that's going to set us up to really hack social engagement and drive more clicks and conversions to help us reach our goals.
I love that you mentioned clicks. If we think about the type of content that we're putting out for a target audience, at Haley Marketing Group, we're big proponents of looking at clicks and traffic back to your website. If you think about your target audience and the content that you're putting together for that audience, if it's resume tips, interview tips, how to land your next job, think about a passive job seeker. Put yourself in that situation. If you saw a great blog article about how to interview better, and you're a passive job seeker, would you click like? Absolutely not, because your boss is then going to see the fact that you're reading content about how to land your next job opportunity. So instead, we want to look at clicks, traffic back to the site, as engagement metrics. I'm going to move it over to Matt Swistak now here. Matt, after we've identified our target audience as one way to hack social engagement, where can we take it from there?
Well, I think a really helpful thing on Facebook is Facebook groups. Now, with Facebook groups, you can really go to where your target audience is. So for instance, you're on Facebook and up in the search bar, for instance, you type in jobs in Buffalo, New York. From there, you click on groups and you'll see all the different groups that are on Facebook of where people are looking for jobs. So this is where your target audience is. You can go into these groups then and share information from your website, share jobs that you have available. But it's more than just going in there and sharing content. I really think you have to join in the conversation there. You have to prove your value, establish trust with that audience. A lot of times people will go in there and say that they're looking for a job in a certain area, in a certain field. If you have a job that fits them, you know, leave a comment and say, hey, here's this job. Check it out. It's on our website. So it's really important to join in the conversation and not to just always go in and post your jobs, but really show your value and establish trust with that audience.
Love joining the conversation. Love the thought of that. We don't want to join a Facebook group and just spam job after job after job. If you think about going to a networking event, you wouldn't show up at the event and just scream that you have jobs available. If anything, people are going to think you're crazy and ignore you even more. The exact is true in a Facebook group. You want to join the conversation. We have a group of like-minded individuals already coming together. Let's join that conversation. And Matt, you didn't give it a plug, but I will. You just created a new blog post on HaleyMarketing.com. We'll put a link in the show notes here. It's called Navigating Your Social Recruiting on Facebook in 2019. Facebook groups. Any data from that article that you want to talk about? Anything that really stood out to you in terms of success metrics?
Yeah, so actually, and thank you for mentioning that, Brad. In the blog, we show statistics from Facebook Insights from different clients that we posted in Facebook groups for. And in these statistics, you can clearly see the number of clicks to the website and the number of engagements is significantly higher than posts that were not shared in those groups. You can also see the reach is much greater than the other posts. As we mentioned before, you know, this is a great way to reach your audience. And over the past year, with Facebook adjusting their algorithm, the majority of your posts aren't being seen by the majority of your audience. So this is a way to make sure your posts are seen. And as Brad said, there are statistics in there that show that the reach was significantly better when we posted in those groups.
Again, if you haven't read the blog article, we'll put a link in the show notes, but the article was titled Navigating Your Social Recruiting on Facebook in 2019, Facebook groups. I'm going to take a turn here, guys, if you don't mind. I think if we talk about hacking social engagement, for me, it comes down to creating thumb-stopping, captivating imagery. Social media is so noisy. It's getting noisier by the day. If you think about staffing firms, they're not only competing with other staffing firms in their local market. They're also competing with bands, sports teams, friends, family members. Maybe it's game invites and different events that are happening through social media that are being shown and displayed on social media. There's so much noise that to cut through that clutter, we need to have great imagery. Now, that's not saying you can't use stock imagery. It's not saying that you can't have a subscription to Adobe Stock or even use sites like Unsplash or Pexels for free use images. But they need to be captivating and they need to be in line with your target audience. If you're placing light industrial candidates in a light industrial setting, then we don't want to have imagery that is of a doctor or somebody in a clerical setting. We want to be able to see ourselves in the role that we'd ultimately be applying for. So we want to make sure that the imagery is in line with those candidates that you're sourcing. Matt Lozar, any other ways to hack social engagement in 2019?
I think building off of Brad's point about thumb-stomping content with captivating images is don't ignore the copy. And copywriting it's a really difficult skill when you've tried to write Facebook posts you want to drive with engagement or Facebook advertisements or any copy on a website even. It's that ability to put a message in a short sentence or a short phrase that jumps out from that clutter and noise to get a passive candidate, an active candidate, maybe even, you know, a potential client. It could be a decision maker at a company where you really want to get some, you know, receive some job orders. What can you do with that copy to complement the image that really drives the clicks and the engagement? Because we're going to process the image first, right? 30, 40, 50, 60,000 times faster. But then the copy has to complete that loop to drive that next action. And if you have really good copy, that's going to help increase the engagement on your content.
We've talked about calls to action before on episode 3 of Insights, and we talked about calls to action on a website. The copy on your social media post also needs a specific call to action. What are you trying to get the end user to do? Is it click the article and read it? Is it leave a comment? Is it to share it with their friends or share it with a family member who might be looking for their next opportunity? We've talked about calls to action before, so if you're interested in that, I would encourage you to go back to episode 3. And also on Matt's point here of creating successful headlines, we talked about that on episode 2 as well, where we talked about how to create captivating blog post headlines, but that ties in really, really well to social media. I'm going to pass it back to Matt Swistak here. Matt, you were going to talk about hashtags. How can hashtags hack social media engagement?
Well, we mentioned identifying your target audience before, and I really think hashtags are a great way to be where your target audience is. There are many different hashtags out there that you can use. There are websites out there to help you find relevant hashtags to use. But again, with hashtags, that's just a way to find out where your audience is and find out what they're talking about. You put out a piece of content and then put a hashtag with it that's associated with that content. And then that's how people will find it. One thing that I do is I go on Twitter and I think of a hashtag that people might be searching for and might be using, and I type it in and I look at the results and I see who's using it, what type of conversation they're having. And that's one way that I really use hashtags and use them to kind of identify that target audience and know who to put the content out to. So I think that hashtags are, like I said, a great way to really hone in on your target audience.
You mentioned researching hashtags and what hashtag to use. RiteTag is one of my favorite tools to use. It's RiteTag. Really like RiteTag. It works great for Instagram and Twitter. I also love the idea of looking at a hashtag and how it's been used in the past. We want to make sure that what we're doing is in line with our branding. We want to make sure that it hasn't been used in another, let's say, inappropriate instance. We want to make sure that everything that we're associating ourselves to and associating our messaging with is in line with our branding. So love the thought of looking at those hashtags, researching what's going to work and what will ultimately drive engagement on social media. If you want to learn more about what's working in social recruiting, you can watch January's Lunch with Haley, titled Social Media 2020. Creating an aligned vision for your staffing firm by visiting lunchwithhaley.com or by clicking the link in the show notes below. Matt, I want to thank you for coming on this episode of Insights and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you guys very much for having me. I had a great time.
Seen and heard.
At this time, we'd like to welcome on Ryan Marr, marketing consultant with Haley Marketing Group. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brad. Great to be here.
Ryan, give us a quick background of your role at Haley Marketing Group and how you assist our prospects and our clients on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been with Haley 7 years now, and I'm a marketing consultant. And all that means is that when clients come to us and prospects come to us with their marketing challenges, I help talk those through, share the best practices of what we see working for our clients. And if we've got a match and we can help them, great. Or if we're just giving away great ideas, that's fine as well.
That's a big proponent of Haley Marketing Group, is to share great ideas. It's not always about, you know, here's a product or here's a solution. It's here's what's best, and, you know, kind of take it where you want to take it to. And I love that part of the consulting process, going through finding out what's best for that prospect or that client.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. Sometimes folks do come in with tactics in mind, and sometimes we talk them out of them. They think, hey, I've got to be on social. I've got to be on Twitter. We find out maybe their audience isn't there. Maybe that's not the right move, and we talk through that.
So last week, you had the opportunity to attend the 2019 Executive Forum presented by Staffing Industry Analysts, along with Paula Zeiss, our Director of Marketing Education, and David Cerns, the CEO of Haley Marketing Group. I want to hop right into this. What was your biggest takeaway from the conference?
Yeah, great question. You know, there's so much information. Staffing Industry Analyst does a phenomenal job. The Exec Forum is always just a ton of great perspectives and takeaways. But I would say the number one for me was... If I had to just boil it down to one line that stood out, it was the stat that 60% of candidates say the biggest thing that can be done to improve the process for them is communication. And we see this gap where time to fill has doubled since 2010. Job seekers are spending way less time on the market, and that problem really needs to be solved. And communication is a huge piece of that.
Matt, from a recruitment marketing standpoint, I know you talk about communication on the show all the time. You know, that's got to be something that you're seeing as well.
It's an interesting point to hear that from Ryan, because I think communication, a lot of the recruitment marketing research and companies, when you kind of see, you know, analyze what they are doing, job candidates, I don't know if this is the communication you were talking about, Ryan, but they want to know what's going on during that process of hiring. It's, okay, I submitted my application. When am I going to hear from the manager? Or maybe when will they review it? Just to get an email back to say it's been reviewed. This is when the phone interview is. You know, they like that transparency, which really can be kind of difficult when you're trying to find a job. It seems to be the recruiter controls that power, but keeping job candidates informed of that timeline process and sharing it with them probably helps with that time to fill.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a big piece of it. So, you know, from the candidate perspective, you know, if the engagement falls short, they feel like they've just fallen into a black hole. And if we're in a talent-starved world, which most of our clients are facing a high challenge there, then these folks are going to find opportunities somewhere else. And you really need to address that. So, you know, even for those that aren't going to be a good match, great communication is going to keep them from leaving those one-star reviews. It's going to really help your pipeline going forward, and a lot of opportunity there to improve.
Even like Ryan just said, the people who aren't a match today. A hot buzz term in recruitment marketing so far in 2019 seems to be silver medalists. Those people you can't place today, but maybe you can place them when your next opening comes. And staffing, that is a lot faster and sooner and quicker than, you know, in a more traditional Fortune 500 company. But what can you do to leave a positive experience with that person who didn't get the job, so when a better fit opens, they're going to be excited and hopefully say yes?
I think what's wild to me is as we talk to clients throughout the industry, there's always a desire to post a job and get a new pool of candidates. The thought is never to go back to that pool that already exists. And I know personally, I think about that and it's like, well, you have a job and 100 people apply. One person gets that job. That means there's 99 other people who maybe are equally, maybe a little less equally capable of handling that job opportunity. Why go back to a whole nother sourcing campaign? And it sounds like that's what we're talking about is how do we go back to have that communication? How do we go back into that pipeline? How do we go back into that talent pool and actively use those candidates?
Yeah, I think you're hitting on a great point, and there's a ton of opportunity there. And, you know, recruiters aren't just crazy, although some of them certainly might be. But, you know, a lot of them are really challenged to go through their own ATS and find who is that best fit. And it's crazy for us to see that it's easier for them to just go back out to LinkedIn and catch a new fish when you've got all these great candidates in your database that you're struggling to match to opportunity.
Yeah, and the database has to be current. It has to be updated. And if you have a data pool from, let's say, 5-10 years back, you don't necessarily know where that candidate is now in their career, where they are in their career path. So at your point, at that time, it is easier to go to LinkedIn and say, hey, what is Brad doing right now currently? Because I don't have the current data in my data pool.
Absolutely. And, you know, there were several vendors at Exec Forum, and some of them under the umbrella of AI, and we can debate about what that means. We can talk about that more on the lunch with Haley tomorrow with the webinar. But one of the case studies or one of the anecdotes that was shared with me was someone with resumes that were 10 years old setting up automation, setting up smart tools to reach out, and what would have taken maybe hundreds or thousands of man hours to update that database just automatically asked people to fill in their information, their current roles, and they reactivated thousands of candidates without having to go reach out to anybody new.
That's awesome technology. So the theme of Exec Forum 2019 was breakthrough leadership. Where will 2019 take you? And Ryan, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, but what should staffing firms and recruitment firms be focusing on to get ready for the next, let's say, 6 to 18 months?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think probably one of the most fascinating sessions for everybody in attendance was Ellen Bullio, economist, talking about what's coming up. And you know, there's going to be according to him, a small downturn in end of 2019, 2020, just a little blip, and then maybe a bigger one in 2022. And that's great motivation for folks to really get moving now and take advantage of this great market and be a market disruptor. Find ways, you know, to partner with fast-growing companies that can help you disrupt the market. And again, I'll just come back to communication. If you can solve that problem and give the candidates a phenomenal experience and make that a real differentiator, that can become a big part of your branding to come up with a way to really stand out from your competitors and solve that problem. Now's the time to do it.
To tie in that communication point from something we talked about in the last episode, the Smashfly benchmark report where they look at all the Fortune 500 companies, 45% of the Fortune 500 companies with a talent network never communicate anything after that first confirmation email, and then 95% of them only share job postings. So it's just this continual inbox filled with job openings and no education, no connection, no building that relationship. And I think with that communication point Ryan talked about, just what can you do to stand out from your competition? Because especially in the staffing industry, they'll switch jobs all the time. I mean, turnover is over 300% because a lot of them are short-term assignments. So what can you do to stand out from the competitor down the street to develop that relationship with the temporary employee to get them to be loyal to your company?
Ryan, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know you have a lunch with Haley coming up to talk in depth about the Executive Forum. The Executive Forum is one of the premier events in the staffing industry, and it's where you go to learn about the top trends affecting our industry and the strategies being used by both big and small staffing firms. Ryan attended, Paula Zeiss from our team attended, and David Cerns, Haley Marketing CEO, attended the Exec Forum. And in our 1 hour Lunch with Haley presentation, they're going to share as much as they can about the things that they learned at this year's conference. You can go to lunchwithhaley.com to register for that Lunch with Haley presentation, or you can watch it on demand by clicking on Webinars on Demand, again, at lunchwithhaley.com. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes below. That's our time for today, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast player or tweet us at Haley Marketing. To stay current with Insights and the interview portion of Secrets of Staffing Success, hosted by Todd Lewandowski, please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. That's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher, or you can listen directly on HaleyMarketing.com. If you have a question for us, you can tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. Check out HaleyMarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.